Accession number 30065, Reel 2.
You know, sort of touching hands. And the brown shirts came and pushed them away. Well, I suppose, you know, it's, in a way, it was an excitement and a novelty. And I think when you're 16, you don't really think about what it really means, do you? You think, oh, I'm going to England, how lovely. But the thing was, when we crossed the border, the Dutch border, that was wonderful. Because the Dutch ladies came onto the train and gave us biscuits and chocolates and things like that. They went all along the train. And of course, we knew we were safe. We were aware of that.
Had you been very frightened before, Laura, you know, with all this going on in Kristallnacht?
I can't really say that I was. No, I wasn't frightened. But, you know, you couldn't go to the cinema and things like that. My mother said, go on, nobody will know you. And I said, I'm not going where I'm not wanted. But, no, I can't say I was frightened. But I realised other people were, especially the older generation. They were worried more and anxious rather than frightened, I suppose.
Because your status would have been a Mischling, I believe. Is that right?
It's Mischling is
Did
the word,
word,
yes.
Did that mean anything to you at the time?
Oh, yes, I knew that it meant I had a Christian mother, yes.
Do you think that softened things for you? Or, you know, did it make a difference, the fact that your mother was Christian?
No, I don't think so, really, because she was so... She was so pro-Jewish and so helpful to everybody.
End of Reel 1, Laura Gordon. Laura Gordon, Reel 2. So, having gone through Holland, whereabouts did you arrive in the UK?
Harwich. We went from Hoek van Holland to Harwich.
Do you have any particular memory of being on the boat?
No, nothing particular about that. It was a smooth crossing. I mean, you know, we were all together. I suppose we talked a lot. I can't even remember that. But it was Harwich we arrived, and the train again brought us to Liverpool Street Station.
What was that like?
I must say, it was the first impressions of England at Liverpool Street Station then are not of the best. It was filthy. Absolutely black, because it was all steam trains, weren't they? It was really black and dirty. But that didn't matter. And we were taken into this big hall where we had to, where we met the people. And Miss Buchan, Auntie Gertie, as I got to know her. Now, I never asked her how, because I didn't, at the time it didn't occur to me. And I didn't have enough English, really. Why she offered to have a child? She was a state registered nurse and she was a spinster. But she, I can only imagine, she was a member of the Society for Christian Jews. I don't know whether it must have existed. Whether it still exists, I don't know. And I expect they appealed for people to come forward. I imagine, but I don't know. I never asked her. But I met her, and the one thing that struck me, she had a straw hat on with flowers. It was summer, and an edge-to-edge coat. And I'd never seen such a garment. She was very, very kind and friendly. And we went to this big hall to find my suitcase. My sister was met by her foster parents, too. And I was so shy, and I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to speak. And so I remember thinking, well, you must make yourself speak. And as we went round to find the case, and I spotted my case, I pointed to it and said, there, and realised immediately I'd forgotten the TH. I was ashamed.
So that was your first word in English in
England? It was there, pronounced wrongly.
Did you have much English at that time, Laura?
Well, I had English at school for 2 years only, and my mother had let us have a few extra lessons, but I don't think it was really very good. But Auntie Gertie, do you want to hear about it? The English? We used to sit opposite each other for breakfast, and then she used to send me into my bedroom to read the Daily Telegraph. Well, of course, I couldn't read it. So I turned to the fashion page, and in fashion, a few words are French, aren't they? And I knew French better than English in those days. And I used to start reading with that, with façon, revers, epaulette, things like that. So gradually I progressed. And I used to sit opposite her at breakfast and smile, and I saw all the gentlemen going to the station with their old umbrellas and bowler hats that were still worn then for city gents. And I used to smile and nod, but I didn't say much, the odd word. Now, I was also, the person who had guaranteed me was the headmistress of the girls' grammar school in Bromley, and I went there as a visitor until the end of the school year, which was July, every day, and I only shone in the German class. The rest went by me a bit, but I remember the girls taught me the Lambeth Walk in the lower corridor. Do you know this as well? Oh, so
yes.
Well, where does this? I must have said all this before, then, mustn't I?
No, I thought you meant the Lambeth Walk.
Oh, I see the Lambeth Walk.
No, I didn't. No, I'm asking you this because, you know, we now know nothing. We want you to tell us so that it can be recorded.
Yes.
If you just forget that I know anything about you,
oh, I
that
see,
would
yes.
be a very good
yeah,
idea.
Yes, right.
But that's interesting that, you know, you were obviously friendly with the girls.
Oh, were they were lovely girls. And we had meals. I didn't know dinner at school. And so, of course, they had dinner at school because we never went to school in the afternoon. We may have had very long first morning, but until 2 o'clock, but we never ate at school.
And so you would be living in Bromley, I think.
I was living with Auntie Gertie in Bromley, yes.
Where was your sister?
My sister was in Hayes, which is like a suburb of Bromley, with a couple called Mr. and Mrs. Batten.
And was she happy?
I think she was, but I don't think she got quite the warmth that I did. Maybe because she was so young and so homesick for her mother, but I never got the feeling she was so relaxed as I was, which made me sad.
Did you meet often?
Oh, yes, I went every week to see her. The fare was nothing much. I think I had 2 shillings pocket money, and I'd always had the fare to go and see her once a week.
And I think you arrived, what date would it have been?
27th of June, 39. Now, I think the arrival was 28th, because we went overnight, didn't we? Left 27th and arrived 28th.
So it was quite soon before the war started.
It was, yes.
Were you hearing from your parents? You were saying how good the post was.
Yes, we could still write then, until the war broke out. Of course, then we couldn't.
Did the letters cease altogether once the war had started?
Yes, the letters ceased, but there was the International Red Cross in Geneva. You wrote through them. You paid 2 shillings for what they called a Red Cross message, and 25 words you were allowed to write for 2 shillings, I think.
And were you able to communicate with your parents for long through the Red Cross once
yes,
it started?
Yes, that's went on for quite a while. Well, of course, when I was interned, I was a prisoner of war, and I could write prisoner of war letters.
Yes, I must ask you about that
yes.
Later. But I think, first of all, you were going to the grammar school at Bromley.
Only as a visitor.
As a visitor.
Because I was waiting to go to the art school to learn dressmaking.
Oh, right.
Also in Bromley. It's now amalgamated with the College of Art and Design in Bromley, but then it was an art school.
Right, and did you actually do that? You went there.
I went there, yes, until I was interned, and I went back to it to do the sitting guilds. I got the sitting guilds there in dressmaking.
Right, So I suppose the next thing would be the outbreak of war. Do you remember that?
Yeah, very well.
The day. Could you tell me your memory of the outbreak of World War II?
Yes. Now, I must have said before, when the war broke out... No, I mean, we're talking about that, yes. We were visiting Miss Buchan's brother, Harry, and his wife and daughter. And there was the Chamberlain telling the tale how he came back from Munich and all was well, and it wasn't. But by that time then, we heard that such a lot, didn't we? How he said, all is well. And when it came to our we were all together, Miss Buchan and her brother and his family, and he turned on the radio, and that's how we heard it, all together in London Lane in Bromley. And that is when Miss Buchan was called up as a nurse to Pembury Hospital in Kent.
How did you feel when you heard that war had actually started between your country and Britain?
Yeah, I was very bewildered. Very bewildered. We didn't know what it would mean, did we? But Miss Buchan, as I said, was interned, so she didn't know what to do with me. She lived in a flat and she didn't want to leave me there alone. So she went to her brother and said, Harry, will you have Laura while I'm gone? And he said, of course. As I said, there were people who lived their Christianity. And then she was sent back to Bromley, Miss Buchan, told to do nursing locally, as she'd done before. But by that time, Joy Buchan, the daughter who was 5 years older than I was so happy to have a youngster. Her parents were lovely people, but elderly for her. It was his second marriage. And she said, please, can we keep Laura? So in fact, I stayed with them until I was married in London Lane, Bromley.
And you were happy there?
Very happy. Oh, I was happy with Miss Buchan too. Of course, I saw her a lot. But she agreed to it. She thought it was good for me to have a young person as well.
When did the issue of internment come up then?
Now, we were called, as soon as war broke out, my brother and I were called in front of a tribunal. My sister was too young. And we were asked searching questions, not together. We were asked separately. And if you were given one of three categories. A, you were immediately interned. Like, I suppose, I can't remember who they were. I didn't know anybody. C, you would never be interned, like my late husband. He was obviously a Jewish refugee, full Jewish. But in the interrogation, of course, I was asked, has your mother, who is the Christian, any brothers and sisters? And she said, I have two sisters. Are they married? Yes. Well, there it was. They were in the German army, weren't they? I mean, I knew that only after the war, but they immediately said so. Well, it was a natural conclusion to draw, wasn't it? And then I was given a B, which meant I would be interned in case of emergencies. We're allowed to go home again and everything, and go on with schooling. But then the Germans invaded the Low Countries in May 40, wasn't it? And that was the emergency. The police came, went right through my desk, looked at all my letters, and took me away. And Mrs. Buchan was in tears. I can remember her standing, she was in tears. And I never knew where we were taken for the first night, because I didn't know much about it. It was a big hall where we all had mattresses on the floor, and there we slept. Now, I'd made one friend at the art school, also a refugee girl, who was my twin. We share a birthday. She lives in America now. She's as little as I'm big, and we have the same date of birth and everything. And we all slept on this hall, and it was only when I heard a program about paragraph 18B, because that was the paragraph under which we were interned, that I realised that big hall where we slept the first night before being sent to the Isle of Man was Holloway, Women's Holloway Prison. So my husband was in a prison in Germany for one night, and my daughter was heard to mutter, "Fine thing, both parents jailbirds." So there we are. That was, then we were sent to the Isle of Man, where we were in Port Erin, which is normally a holiday village, and we were given to different landladies. I think I went swimming every day until the end of October. The sea was right across. We did all the housework and helped where we could, but we were, you know, restricted to Port Erin. We organised ourselves and had lectures and learned Spanish, a little bit of Spanish, something like that.
And you were in separate billets, were you, rather yes. than one big camp?
Oh, yes. The men were in a camp, I think, but the women were in just what had been the boarding houses in Port Erin, which was a holiday place. I mean, the landlady called us barbarians occasionally, but she was really quite nice.
So you had plenty of social life.
Yes, we did. Yes. There were several of us in one house, and you know, as young people will, we chatted and did everything together. You know, we did the cleaning for her and gutted the herrings and whatever had to be done. That's where I learned to eat kippers, because they were always given to us cold, and I always thought that was the way to eat them.
How did you feel about it, being interned as an enemy alien?
Well, it was a strange experience.
Were you resentful at all?
No, not really. I could understand it. You see, but I loved England, and it was a natural thing for them to do, wasn't it, to intern people who might be a danger. I mean, nobody knew us, what we were really like, and that we were so keen on the country.
Were there any people there who you would consider Nazis?
Yes, there was one house on a hill where we thought there were real Nazis. They used to blink lights out to see at night and things like that. But we weren't bothered about it. I mean, most of us, of course, were Jewish, weren't we?
How long were you there, Laura?
We interned in May, and then I had to go in front of another tribunal in Douglas, Isle of Man, in November, and I was sent, was given a C, and that meant immediate release.
You went back to the Buchans, did you?
I went back to the Buchans, yes.
And what did you do then, being back to the Buchans?
Oh, well, I went back to school and did sitting guilds in dressmaking.
Oh, this would be the art college. You went back
to
the art college.
Yeah, art school, yes. I went back there, got the sitting guilds, and then I went into needlework at, what was the name of the first people? In Mortimer Street. Oh dear, how naughty.
A dressmaker, wasn't it?
Yes, but they made everything over and over again, you know, not the sort of needlework I liked. And this friend and I, we were both there. Vivian Porter, that was the name of the firm.
Vivian,
I think V-I-V-Y. A.N. Porter in Mortimer Street, and they made made one dress several times, and you didn't do your own machining, you only worked on the dummy and did all the handwork. And this friend of mine that I met at the art school, we went one lunchtime and applied at Worth in Grosvenor Street and got the job. It went back and worked our notice and went to Worth, and there I stayed until I had my first child.
Well, that was high status, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but of course, I was called up for war work in the middle of it. In 43, I was called up to do war work. And I, for various reasons, I mean, I can tell you the reason, but you can, might not want to know that.
Yes.
The lady in the office in the Isle of Man, where we had to report or do any business, used to let the old ladies, and there were many of them, wait outside in wind and rain while, you know, she took one by one. And it was that lady who was at the Labour Exchange when I was called up. And I was determined not to do what she wanted. So she wanted me to go into the ATS. I said, if I can be treated like any English girl, I will go. But at the moment, I'm only allowed to be an orderly or cook. If I'm good enough to go in, I said, I want to be able to have a choice of jobs. So I didn't, she said, you can't have that. And so then she said, you can be where your husband is, but, you know, by that time, 43, I was married. And then she said, well, and you can go into a uniform factory. Now, I promised my mother faithfully I would never, ever do piecework. And piecework, you do one seam in a box, pick up the other, like this, you sit all day. And I promised her I would never do piecework. So I said, no, I don't want to do that. Oh, well, she said, then you have to go on more work. I said, right, I'll do that. And I went, became a miller and a centre lathe turner.
A miller?
A miller. It's a milling machine. You pull down a lever and you can do gears and things you can make like that. But they couldn't find me. They trained me as a miller in where Heathrow is now. There was a training centre. I was trained there. As a miller, they couldn't find me a job as a miller, and they trained me for 3 days as a centre lathe turner, and that's what I did for the rest of the time.
A lathe turner?
Centre lathe, it's called. You have to put your work in a chuck and tighten it up and let it run through, and then you go along with your tool, and it's metal. I went there in quite a small firm and did this war work. 10 hours a day we did.
A long day?
Oh, yes, but everybody had to work long and during the war. And we weren't allowed to know what we were making, but I could read a blueprint, you see. And I fathomed we were making little things to go on the trays for Burroughs and Wellcome, who were developing penicillin then. Evidently, the trays sort of had to mature. They went round the laboratory. And the other thing I was doing was axles for lorries that were building the airfields for the Americans who were coming. So those are the two things I remember that I knew what they were, but you weren't really allowed to know what you were doing.
Did you, were you involved at all with the bombing? I imagine during the Blitz you would have been interned. Am I right in thinking that? That you would
yes.
have missed the worst
I
of the
missed
Blitz.
The direct hit on the Buchan's house, yes.
Could you tell me about that?
Yes. They had a direct hit which went on Dwight Foster's sister's bedroom, right through to the dining room. And Mrs. Buchan was trying to get under the dining room table for shelter, because it was such a heavy Victorian thing. But the strike came before she could get there, and the blast blew the door off its hinges and sheltered her from falling masonry. It was quite wonderful. A leg of the table was found in the next road that would have been where she would have been sitting. So that was a wonderful, like a miracle, really. Mm. And Mr. Buchan was in the back of the house. He didn't seem to notice so much. It's funny. They weren't the bombs that are today. They were quite different.
You would have been vulnerable, I believe.
I think I would have been because, you see, I spent quite a lot of time in my bedroom and writing and things like that. And the wall had gone from my bedroom. But my bed was still there, but I doubt the blast would have been bad, wouldn't it?
Did you lose any possessions? Did anything get broken?
Well, I can't remember that.
How about your little pigs?
There only three survived.
Yes, and how many did you have?
I had a mother pig and four little ones. And three little ones survived. I've got them still.
And you have those? They're not in the museum?
No.
No. Right.
No, I have those. I didn't really think it was anything for a museum, but no, I've still got them.
You brought them those over with you from Germany, did you?
Yes, it was the only thing of any decorative nature that I brought.
And how about the V1s and V2s. Did you have any experience of these while you were in London?
Yes, well, I was working at my centre lathe once, and the V1s, they were like a sort of sewing machine noise. And then when they cut out, they came straight down. I was very lucky we escaped them all, except once I was standing in my clogs on the boards, because it's a lot of oil, you wash your shoes, we wore clogs. and I heard this V1 coming, and it cut out, and must have gone down somewhere, and all the glass fell in, but it didn't fall outwards towards me, it just fell straight down. Quite extraordinary. The windows fell down, so I wasn't hurt in any way. And V2s, well, we were told they were gasometers exploding. Well, it became silly because there were too many of them. No, we did know about them. They came from Holland, didn't they? Mm-hmm. The Germans had by that time gone to Holland, yes. Yes. Did a lot of damage. Yes. But I was just very lucky.
Yes. Were they particularly frightening, you know, once the V1s and V2s came? Did you find them sinister compared with the conventional bombing?
I suppose, yes, because it was something quite different, wasn't it? Yes, I did. Mm.
I suppose at this time, were you still hearing from your mother in Germany?
Only in Red Cross messages.
You were continuing to hear from her, were you?
Yes, that was a wartime thing, you see, the Red Cross messages, yes.
And that was right throughout the war you got them from her, did you?
Yes.
Did you know what was happening to your father? Had she been able to tell you?
I've got it at home, but I can't remember exactly how the words were, but she did say that my aunt, my father's sister, had gone, and she just said, I think Aunt Hedwig travels or away, something like that, and she said the same about my father, so we did know.
Sort of coded messages.
Yes, saying has gone on a journey or something like that, in German.
Right, this is end of reel 2.
Oh dear.
What?